Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the audio description and learning how to get it active in your arts. As the chair of the ACB Audio Description Performing Arts Museums and Parks, I had to stop and think of what the name was. It's my pleasure to introduce our panel this morning. It will be led by Stacia Boyd with Brian Smith and Marcia Bucala. So I will turn it over to Stacia.
Hi, everybody. Hello, hello, hello. I am Stacia Boyd. I am the founder and executive director of the Audio Description Initiative, also known as the currently known as the Central Florida Audio Description Initiative, and hopefully soon expanding to other areas around the state. I'm going to pass it over to Brian.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Smith. I'm the Director of Partner Development for Audio Description Initiative. I'll give you a little bit of background on me. I started acting when a pretty girl my freshman year asked me to be in her show, and she told me I get to spend more time with her. So I said yes. And that was in 1990. And I lost my vision 17 years ago. And I just finished my 28th play a few months ago since losing my vision, and then joined Audio Description Initiative almost a year ago now. And we are growing, growing, growing leaps and bounds, and hope to grow in your area. And I will pass it on to Marcia.
Hey, I'm Marcia Bucala. And a little over 3 years ago, I moved to Orlando and spoke with Sheila about bringing live audio description to the arts in the area. And she introduced me to Stacia, and we started working together, first with Dr. Phillips Theater, and now several other theaters in the area of Orlando that offer audio description.
So that was supposed to take a lot longer, so we'll go a little bit deeper dive into Yeah, so we really come at this as a three-headed approach. We have our super advocate in Marcia, who is the go-between between the low vision blind community and the theater, is really going after audio description. You have myself, who's a connection to the arts community as a performer that happens to be low vision blind. Stacia, who had the expertise in the technology and the understanding on how to make audio description stuff. So I'd like us to talk a little bit about why it's important to us specifically to be involved with this. And I'll start with you, Marcia, since you brought this to fruition with audio description.
So I think for me, it's really important, the live audio description, in that before I had my vision loss, I always had gone to the theater. My mom was an usher at the theater in the Cleveland, Ohio area. And I thought there was no way I was going to be able to continue to go to live performances. But as I saw audio description come to movie theaters and stuff, I was like, there's got to be a way that we can do this. And so through meeting with Stacia, and also it just, for me, going to live audio description just brings back a great memory. I feel like my mom is on my shoulder, just, you know, her having a beaming smile as I'm enjoying live, you know, performances, and that it does take a little bit of work to get it, because even a lot of the theaters and that don't know what live audio description is. So, and you know, it does take some persistence. You know, we're not lucky enough to just be able to walk in the day we want to go to a show typically. You do have to do some pre-planning, just like we have to do with transportation pretty much on an everyday basis. But you know, it's just a really, to me, to hear something live on stage is probably one of the most beautiful moments that you can have in your life. Thanks.
And I'll take you back on that a little bit. Being a performer for the past 30 plus years, when I lost my vision, probably the third thing I went to, one, I was a single dad, and then I wouldn't be able to drive and be a vagabond anymore. But then I was like, I'm never getting on stage again. And that was really, really upsetting for me. And then I found a welcoming community of these artists and people that wanted to perform with me and wanted to make it happen for me. And that was amazing. And then I wanted to learn how to share that with people. And I didn't know how. And I believe my friend Janine's here in the room. But she was the one who told me about audio description for the first time a few years back. And then I got involved with Stacia and got it out of a performance for me. So it's really important. And what Marcia said, that we have to go educate the theaters. I was in a show at a theater that I've been performing at for 30 years. I said, hey, will you guys do audio description? They said, yeah, absolutely. What is it? And so that's where we've learned over the past couple of years on how to educate the theaters on what it is, how to do it, why live performance audio description is so important as opposed to having a recorded audio description and things like that. So for me, it's making that connection and the human experience, the humanities that we learn about in school and college, the reason they're still taught 2,000-3,000 years later is because it's about the human connection. And I believe that live voice through the audio description and exposing people that are very often underserved in the arts, especially performing arts and visual arts community, getting them the accessibility to go see a show, that's why it's so important to me. And I will pass it on to Stacia.
So one of the things that we wanted to talk about was actually how we started the audio description program in Central Florida. It was a bit of an accident in that COVID had happened. And my background before my husband and I started our other company 22, 23 years ago, I too was a performer. I was an actor in Central Florida. And but then we'd started another company. I discovered audio description for museums. I started working in audio description for museums. COVID hit. Our other company was, I had nothing to do for a few years. And I was a theater reached out to me about they wanted to start an audio description program. So I created a learning thing. I trained their describers. And it continued for a little bit, but then everyone involved in it moved on. All of the turnover in that theater, you know, was about to pull the program apart. And that's about the same time that I met Marcia. And I have had the vision that one of the challenges within the arts community, again, in addition to them not knowing what audio description is that a lot of folks who do know what it is, they think that the audio description itself is the accessibility. When actually the bigger barriers are what Marcia talked about a minute ago, which is how you have to call and request and how do you get the tickets and how do you get a hold of somebody who can help you? And once you get there, how do you get in the front door? How do you get to your seat? The training for the staff, the training for the leadership. So the Audio Description Initiative takes a holistic approach in that when we work with an organization, we want them to, number one, we want them to, A, get their website to be accessible. But since that's a lot of time, money, and budget, we say we can make this a lot easier by putting an accessibility tab on your main menu and having a name and phone number at the top of that accessibility page with a person who's trained to assist someone. So in other words, we're trying to make things easier for the arts organizations so that they're not afraid, so that they don't feel like they're being overwhelmed. And we remove whatever objection they might have. For example, some of them will say, well, we don't have the equipment. No problem. You can borrow ours. We will take that barrier away from you, for you. So the Audio Description Initiative itself, any organization can call us up and say, hey, we've had a request for audio description. Can your people provide it? Absolutely. But we really want them to become members of Central Florida ADI. And in our history, when we started, the only place that was offering audio description was the Orlando Fringe Festival. And they only did it once a year at the Fringe. So at the beginning of 2022, other than that one place, there was zero audio description offered in Central Florida. By the end of 2022, we had described 7 performances, 1 ballet, 6 performances for the Orlando Broadway series. Starting in 2023, we described 45 performances. We have 4 member theaters that work with us as members, and we have another 5 that work with that hire us regularly to perform to provide audio description. So we went from zero, nothing, to over 45 performances, and we're on track to have about 50 performances this year. And we're going to be bringing on probably, I think we have verbal agreements with at least 3 more. All of our existing members have committed to renew, and we have 3 more that have said they're going to come on. So our goal is not to make a theater accessible. Our goal is to change the entire arts community. so that it becomes a given that audio description is offered, that it becomes easy, that if a theater is not offering it, the rest of the theater community goes, well, why not? Rather than hearing that somebody is offering, going, oh, wow, that's cool. We want it to be so normal that to not offer it is abnormal. So that is the goal that we're having. And it sounds like this microphone might be on its way out, but that's what we're working towards and what our goals are. So part of what Brian wanted to talk about was the building it in your own community and how we did it with that three stool process. Go ahead.
So I have a sighted person here, so I'm going to ask a question and get a show of hands because she can answer for me. Those of you sitting out there, who has that you know of audio description in your community?
Four of our people here are and one person I don't know in the back with the long dark hair, the white sunglasses on. What's your name? Chantel. Oh, hi, Chantel. You raised your hand. Which community are you in?
Fantastic.
And just awesome. A reminder that any off-mic discussion that's not
everybody's hand should have went up, and they possibly did. I don't know how many people are here, we see a lot of cross-section when we talk to the theaters about ASL, and every theater that I know of in Central Florida offers an ASL show, and then we come to this like, well, we don't know how to do it, and we don't know this, and we don't know that, and like, well, let's educate you, and that's where I, when Stacia asked me to talk to her about possibly joining the team. I wasn't looking for a job. I had a business that was successful, a family I liked spending time with. And I thought she was going to ask me to be a salesperson. And I was ready to tell her no. And she led with education. Educate. We're going to educate and we're going to make it easier and we're going to educate. And by the way, we're going to make it easier for the theaters to make it easier for the low vision blind community to actually experience the arts. And I wholeheartedly believe that is the value and the way to grow this movement is that you really need to show the theaters and the performance venues and the art galleries or whatever the case may be that you're talking to is that there is an easy way to do this. There's a proven formula out there on how to do it. And it doesn't have to be this large $20,000 investment for your 90-seat theater. It really can be done at a cost-effective way. I've been a business owner. I started my first business when I was 9 years old. Stacia mentioned her and her husband started their business 20-something years ago. We really approach this from the understanding of there are budgets in real life. and there are obstacles with money. And we really try and make this a cost-effective process for them and to teach them how to do that in the way that it makes sense for them and it's making your lives and my life and every low vision blind person in Florida's life. Nothing's more exhausting to me personally. I'll speak from a personal perspective here. I'm trying to get tickets to a show and I can't even find on their website the day and time of the show, not even to mention how to get the tickets or how much the tickets are or the phone number to call to get a ticket. So like that's where if we can teach these venues from first touch, the time you exit and that follow-up email, if they send one, how to make this an accessible process for us, it's going to increase their bottom line, which in the real world is what they're looking for too. On top of offering the service and making it more accessible, they're trying to create more customers and more regular patrons, which is, we want to spend money. Make it accessible for us and we'll come. And so that's been a driving force. But I'm going to have Marcia talk a little bit about the advocacy process and requesting it, because you've probably done the best job in Central Florida most recently. So,
okay. So actually, back in 2019 is when I originally had reached out to Dr. Phillips. And that was to see... for Beautiful, for the Carol King musical. And then, of course, 2020, COVID happened and those tickets, that show got canceled. So I kind of started the process And then it kind of abruptly ended. And then once I moved to Orlando, I decided that, okay, I want to get season tickets again. I think they're going to work with me to get audio description. I got myself put on the wait list to get season tickets. And it came out on a Friday. Season tickets are open. Go ahead. And I could not figure out how to navigate their website. I'm like, I want accessible seats. I have a guide dog, and things like that. And the box office was closed Saturday and Sunday. So Monday morning, I picked up the phone and I called and I said, I want to get tickets. Oh, all the season tickets are sold out. And I was like, I think this is kind of unfair to me. I said, first of all, your website's not accessible. I couldn't figure out even about getting accessible seating. And it took a couple days, probably by the end of that week, then I got a call back from Dr. Phillips that they had opened up two tickets for me for this, you know, season series, and that they would work with me to get audio description for them. But again, it took a lot of phone calls, a lot of back and forth. Sometimes they don't return your phone calls. It's just really, really important to get the name and number and the email address of the person you're talking to. And I think email is a really good route to go, because if they do respond to you, you have something in writing. A phone conversation is just not a real easy way route to go to try to back up what they've told you or who's working on it. I've also gotten audio description out in Las Vegas for the Beatles Love and that. And that, you know, that again was even more challenging because of the time zone difference. And the woman didn't work Sundays and Mondays. But typically, I would send her something the next morning. I'd have an answer from her or a day, or she would kind of keep me. And they really did a good job, too, of like, we want to make sure we test the equipment. Where your seats are. And we've run into some of those kind of issues. So that's another thing. I always ask for a PDF of the program so that we can get it beforehand. And I try to keep, you know, please make sure you check the equipment, please. So we have to do all these extra steps. Where do I go pick up the equipment? Dr. Phillips at the beginning too was like, we're going to have to give us an ID and this and that. And I'm like, this is so ridiculous. None of us want to keep your equipment, okay? If we, by some reason, forget to give it back, but we do have it now arranged that we can give it to the usher when we are leaving, you know, the theater and stuff like that, and not have to give our ID. I mean, we even have one member who comes with us where she's left her suitcase behind the, you know, guest services and stuff because she travels actually from this area. From St. Augustine to go to the show with us and stuff. So again, it takes a lot of extra work. And again, you're not going to find a lot on the websites, except for maybe Garden Theater, which we can talk about what an awesome job they've been doing. But usually you're going to see stuff about handicap bathrooms, handicap parking, and ASL. That's about all that you see on these websites has been my experience.
And we have a new mic that works. Awesome. Cool. So going to that point, one of the reasons that I saw the education part as important is what Marcia just talked about. Before I got involved with ADI, I thought I could call and get audio description. Well, I went out to Vegas with my wife and asked for audio description for and they're like, what's that? They're like, you know, where you describe what's going on. We don't offer that. Yes, you do. One of my friends got it. Not here. Well, is O playing anywhere else? You know, they're like, well, no. I was like, well, then they got it here. I was like, yeah, we have no idea what you're talking about. But I was on me not understanding that this takes weeks to set up if you're going to a new location. And that's why the education was important to me. If we're educating the venues on what needs to happen, and it's a very top down, and I think this needs to be across the board, across the country, across the world, is the leadership has to buy in. So we won't do any partnerships with anybody that the leadership training has to take place. Then we could do the staff training. Because if the staff's getting trained, the leadership's like, what's this audio description thing? The staff's not going to care, and they're not going to buy into the training and understanding. But Marcia brought up the Garden Theater, and I'll let Stacia talk about that here in a minute. But that was like our kind of our test theater outside of the large professional concert hall. And they have a great person there by the name of Jean, and she's really bought into this. And they're regularly 10 to 20 low vision blind people at their events, where they had to go out and buy more units for their theater because they were selling out of units. They're bringing people in from outside of the area now. So they've really helped us, as we've helped them, establish what the best practices are and how best to make the website accessible. And if it's not accessible, to have somebody that'll answer the phone. You just, if we can learn how to educate the venues on how to break down the barriers, it's going to make everybody realize that, wow, there's a community out there that wants to come out and see live art. And one of the reasons it's important to me, going back to that question earlier, is that it just needs to be the standard. It shouldn't have to be aspirational. There's a new show going up. They're going to have an audio description, because that's what they should be doing, because people are coming and it's easy to do. And that's where we really want to make things easier going forward, is teaching the communities as we expand and as we teach other areas to do this, is this doesn't have to be hard. And so I'm going to let Stacia talk a little bit about our partnership with Garden.
One of the things that I want to make really clear is that the theaters that we're working with that are succeeding and just killing it on this, they're not doing it because they came up with all these ideas. They're doing it because we gave them the things to do. We told them, it's like, do this, do this, do this, and you will see results. And Garden Theater has enacted the program the most efficiently, and they are seeing the best results. Athens Theater has utilized a lot of the things that we recommended. They are seeing results. The case with the Dr. Phillips Performing Arts Center. They're a large organization. And of course, you know, they believe that they know everything and they know it all. However, one of the things we advised them to do on the first day was to get their equipment fixed and brought up to speed, because it wasn't doing so great. And they kept saying, oh, we're on it, we're on it, we'll fix it. And I think finally, Martha, the last time what did not work after she had brought in a very large group of people down, and it was because they did not take our advice. They were not listening to us, and they had a technical failure that almost cost everybody the first act of a play that everybody paid $100 to see the show. But the audio description initiative with Garden Theater, like we said, the problem that we teach all of our arts organizations, because I am sighted, and I'm telling the arts leadership, I'm not trying to teach these art leaders how to be blind or what it is like to be blind. I don't know. But I do know what it's like to be a sighted person trying to serve the blind community and the things that I need to look for and I need to listen out for. So we tell the arts leadership, the problem here is not that they can't see, it's that you can't see. You can't see the barriers that you have put up for them, such as the first thing that happens to make something accessible is the decision between, hey, I think I want to go, and buying the ticket. So when we started with Garden Theater, the first thing we asked them to do, they were in the process of redoing their website at the time. We asked them to make some changes to the website. They did it. It cost them less than $150 to basically put an accessibility tab on the main menu that people can find and a phone number of a person assigned to do this. Now, that person ended up being Jean Boone. And with Jean, if we could bottle that woman's energy and sell it, oh my gosh. But she took every suggestion that we had and made it better. So, for example, one of the things that we put in there is a know before you go program. So they send people out the information beforehand, but also to include things that are like, here's where the front entrance is. Here's how you get in the front door. Once you walk in the front door, here the concessions are on the left, the restrooms are on the right. Little things like that, so that people who are new to the theater can get in there. If they're using paratransit, if they're using something like that, they have information they can give to the driver. Here's where the front door is. You know, here's how I get in case they're traveling by themselves. So they took all of those ideas and then they expanded them further.
here's where the local restaurants are. They bring extra volunteers on. So for example, they have large groups coming now, and it's a small lobby. But here's a group that doesn't drive and they sell alcohol. So what makes a lot of money? Alcohol sales at theaters. So they bring in an extra volunteer to assist people in this particular section with getting their own drinks. So they'll take their orders and bring them back to the seats. So they're increasing their concession sales. They're making it easier for other patrons to get around, and they're making it easier for this particular group of patrons to come and enjoy the show. So they take every idea and make them better. But they didn't know where to start. We gave them the starting point. When it came to the audio description, like we just said, they ended up having so much success with it. They've started bringing in people that we've never met. A lot of the time that was started out with folks that, you know, Marcia's friends and everybody else that was coming. But now we have new people that are coming from the villages, that are driving over from Lake County. So their marketing and their advertising is starting to pay off. And then the audio description within the shows itself, you know, there's that goes on. We've got good describers. But then afterwards, they have their follow-up. They send out follow-up information. They want to know how things are going. And then Jean makes sure people know if she knows somebody's coming, she will stay on top of when they arrive. I mean, it is really an amazing program that this organization has just taken it and sailed with it and set an incredible example. Is there anything else on that one you wanted me to talk about? Okay.
Now's the fun part. This is a giant failed social experiment if people don't show up. And so that one of the things that we're starting to work on now that we've grown and we have the theaters is building those relationships between the theater and our community. So spreading the word amongst our friends. Marcia's been great about that. I've been inviting some of my low vision blind friends to the shows that I'm interested in going to see. My wife, who's an extreme introvert, we're at Dr. Phillips one night, and she saw a woman being led around by her husband, it turned out. And she's like, come on, we got to go. I'm like, where are you going? And she's pulling me across the lobby, which, if you know my wife, that's not her MO. She's like, ma'am, excuse me, I just got to tell you about the audio description they offer here. Because it changed my wife's life, because she wasn't my unpaid describer anymore, and she could actually lose herself in the show, and we got date night back. You know, the first show that she went to me that was audio described, it was a 90s pop show that I thought she would love because of the music. I love it. The music, there's a Britney Spears song in there, and I know you love Britney. And she's like, yeah, but that's not why I loved it. I was like, what? She's like, I wasn't constantly waiting for you to lean over and ask me what happened. So it wasn't a malicious statement, but it was the fact that she now could actually watch the show for her enjoyment and not mine. You know, so it's really important that we're understanding what this service does for our community and that we're telling others about it if it's something that we're even interested in, that we may know that they're interested in. And that is how this really needs to grow organically, in my it's just my opinion. But if it grows organically and we're calling the theaters asking, as opposed to myself or Stacia saying, hey, we got something to sell you, are you interested? They're going to be more open to listening because now they know that there's an audience for it, as opposed to me telling them there's an audience, or Stacia telling them, or Chad or senior describer telling them there's an audience for it. And then they see the proof. So three of our theaters now, I'm losing this mic too.
Is there anybody online though? Do we have anybody on the Zoom?
No questions.
No, I was just making sure that because we don't want to like not use the microphone if we have Zoom people, so stay with it. Yeah.
So I forget where I was going. Oh, so three of our theaters now have season ticket holders that wouldn't have been season ticket holders if they didn't offer audio description. I tested Dr. Phillips. Marcia had season tickets. I didn't know about audio description all that much. I was kind of, because I do see a little bit. I didn't know if I'd want to use it, and then I used it, and I loved it. And they had told Stacia before I was working with them that they would offer a second performance if somebody asked for it. I'm like, well, I'll test them out for you. And I called and I said, I have season tickets. They're like, great, we'll get it for you. And now they offer at two performances. So when the client or the customer or the patron is the one asking for it, it's going to help bring recognition and understanding that there is an audience out there. And then it's on our community to go out there and tell the rest of the community about it. And that's how it's grown in Orlando. And that's where we see it growing as we move forward in other areas for yourself and in your community. So would you like to speak to that, Marcia?
So what I do for the Dr. Phillips, because I'm a season ticket holder, things work the same way. Before they put tickets on sale to the general public, I can buy additional tickets. It's usually at least 8 additional tickets, depending what the performance is. It could be sometimes 6. But that's how, and I've got it even with Dr. Phillips now, Brittany in the box office, that I let her know beforehand, because let me tell you, when they do get extra tickets go on sale, like, you're going to be on hold for a while. Let me find these tickets. She now, I tell her, I need 5 for this show, 6 for this show. You know, Moulin Rouge was probably the most popular one. Well, actually, I don't need 8, I need 9. And she said, okay, no problem. But she went and found those tickets for me beforehand. So when I called, I wasn't even on the phone 5 minutes. All she did is got my credit card information and stuff like that. So just, you know, reaching out to, you know, just friends and people that you know in the blind vision community, and just spreading the word. The other thing is, we make it pretty much a social thing too, because we typically go out to eat afterwards, and sometimes we go out to eat before the show and after the show, because we typically go to the 2 p.m. show for Dr. Phillips, and also at the Garden Theater. So I think just, you know, letting others know, I know we're working too with Lighthouse in Orlando to try to get them to get the word out too. And I know I donated my tickets to Peter Pan was today. And it's kind of a really cool story, because the person who ended up, it's her birthday today. She had just said to her daughter she wanted to go see Peter Pan, and then they got the tickets, and then they got passed on to her. So it'll be her first live audio description show that she's going to. And she hadn't even been to a movie with audio description until recently. So I think, you know, we have to really get the word out. And the thing is, now I understand not everyone loves Broadway shows. Not everyone loves Fringe. Not everyone loves the same stuff. But you can certainly get it for whatever live type of performances that you like. Even if it's a musical type of thing, we did Land Sharks at the Garden Theater. So anything that's live, like Stacia will say, unless the stage is totally black, audio description can be done for the show. But you just have to reach out and, you know, talk with the people and get it, you know, scheduled on their calendar.
I like to piggyback off of that too. First with Brittany, who I deal with also, we had to train them to get there, to get to the point where they're anticipating our needs. But we had to walk them through that process of what that looks like. And once again, that self-advocacy is sometimes exhausting and sometimes humiliating. Depending on what you're going through. But if we do it, we'll make it easier for the other people in our community. So for those of you that are strong enough to go out there and do it and do it well, please do, because you're making it easier for the person that may not be comfortable doing it. The other thing with the musical, like, what should be audio describing? I heard Stacia say it when we first did our first training. I was like, yeah, absolutely. Is if the lights come up, it should be audio described. I recently did the Broadway cruise and had a hard time getting audio description, but talked to the right people and they've committed to doing it next year. So if you want to go on the Broadway cruise, you should go. It was an amazing experience. But there was another blind traveler with her mother, and I was talking to him. I was like, hey, they just agreed to do audio description. And the mother goes, why would you need it? It's just a concert. And so even in the people that are used to don't always get it, used to dealing with our community, and the daughter's like, hey, remember last night when I asked her what happened because everybody laughed? I wouldn't have had to if there was audio description, because all it is cabaret is all day long, but they're using props, they're doing things on, you know, the audio describer is going to tell you they're moving left, they're moving right, they're stepping down off the stage, he's going to the piano now.
That's all stuff that was lost in her because she was completely blind and had not even light sensitivity. So she couldn't even tell the color of the changes of lights or anything like that. And the mom was just so used to doing it for her. She didn't think there was a need for it. She's like, no, I'd rather hear from a describer so I don't have to bother you. Yeah. And so I'll let Stacia go.
Well, and this is where, you know, me being able to talk to arts leadership is very important, because I think one of the things that the arts leadership is in the bad habit of is thinking that it is their responsibility to decide for the blind community what is and isn't audio description appropriate. So we had this conversation with the Garden Theater at one point because they were doing a show, Land Sharks, and they said, oh, no, we didn't offer audio description because it is just a concert. And that was when I told Gene and the leadership there, I said, you don't get to decide. If somebody asks for the audio description, and if everybody else in the show gets in the room get to see the show, then why is this, why do you get to decide for them and this audience not decide for themselves? And that is part of that education that we keep kind of driving home to the leadership, because one of the challenges audio description has versus sign language is everyone in the audience sees the sign language interpreters down there. And they're doing their signing and everything's, oh my gosh, that is so cool. That's all cool. I'll just watch that for a little while I'm listening to the show. And it's so cool. But audio description by its nature is invisible. So the describer is back in a booth somewhere. They're hidden. They're quiet. So this entire thing is occurring for a segment of our community, and nobody knows it's happening. So the leadership itself, because they're visual, they're used to seeing things, to seeing is believing, they have to learn that as a seeing person, you don't get to decide that somebody should or shouldn't have access to your programming. And this is one of the big educational things when it comes to dealing with arts organizations or any organization. My other company, we deal with museums. That's where my background is. And that's the same question. I would get the question all the time. Why would a blind person want to go to the museum? Why would a blind person want to go to the theater? I'm like, I don't know. Same reason everybody else does. They like the show, or maybe their spouse likes the theater. Maybe they hate the museum, but they have to go because their spouse does. It's understanding that you're not trying to serve the disability, you're trying to serve your community. And these are members of your whole community that just need a little bit of extra. So that's the part of our education program.
Yeah, and even myself being a part of this community, I didn't think concerts needed to be audio described. I just accepted that I was going to miss a couple of things. And now that I've been working with a year, I went and saw Mandy Patinkin in concert in March. And something happened and everybody laughed. I'm like, oh, crap. If I would have just asked for audio description, I would have known that he had a newspaper and was using it as a prop for this one song and had stuff written on it. But I didn't think, in my mind, it didn't need to be. So now I'm going to see another concert in August and I'm putting in a request for that to be audio described because I don't want to miss anything. Once again, that's self-advocacy thing again. I am going to open it up for questions, if anybody out there has a question. Possibly how we could help you in your community, how you would go about your community, or did we hand up? Beautiful. Yay. Hi, Elton. Yes, absolutely. So the question was for theaters in your community that aren't offering, what's the best way to approach them to put them in contact with a company like ours? I think just asking, saying, hey, I'm low vision blind. I would like to come see a show at your theater. And I know of a company that provides a service that allows me to enjoy the show more by providing audio description. Can I give you their information, or can I get your information to give to them? I think that's the first starting point to do that. And to see if they're open to it. If they're not, then I can put my bulldog, you know, costume on and go knock on the door. But I think that's the easy, and I'll be very honest, and I've been very pleasingly surprised how open the theaters are. Sometimes there is a financial, you know, concern on their part, and we're working with them to creatively figure out how smaller theaters like Imagine Station and Breakthrough in Orlando that are, you know, 30, 40 seat houses can afford it. whether it's through sponsorships of local, you know, other businesses that might want it. But we're willing to work with them on things like that and try to figure out how to creatively do this. And hopefully now that we have our nonprofit, we'll be able to make some financial alliances in Central Florida and the outlying areas that we move into that do help that. But I think the first step is always to ask and say, hey, I really want to see this show here, but you don't offer audio description. And we start there. Yeah.
One thing that I would add is what we discovered was that a lot of places where folks were asking for audio description, they would call an organization, but the organization wouldn't know what to do or how to do it. So when you make the request, it is absolutely important to say there is an organization in town that does this. And for those of you who are not in Central Florida, it would be if you know of somebody in your area, suggest them. If they're not in your area, send them to us. We'll find someone. Because you got to be able to bring the solution with the problem. If the organization is not offering it and they don't know about it or know what it is, point them in the right direction, because otherwise the confused mind says no. And if they don't know what's going, if they don't know what they're asking for, if they don't understand, their mind goes, oh, no, this is going to be a nightmare for us. So send them there. Also, for those of us in the Central Florida area or the greater, like Tampa to Daytona Beach area, give them the names of the places that are offering it. Say the same as being provided at Garden Athens, Orlando Family Stage, Shakes has offered it, Dr. Phillips, you know, Osceola Arts, so that they know that there is someone like them within their same budget range. Because I think a lot of folks are confused. They think that Dr. Phillips could offer it because it's cost a lot of money. No, Dr. Phillips, it doesn't cost Dr. Phillips. It cost them a little bit more because they're not a member. But it's like it doesn't, the amount is not that difficult. We work very hard to make sure that what we're doing is absolutely affordable for even the smallest of theaters. Well, maybe not the 40-seat house with a $50,000 a year budget. But the solution is out there, and that's the thing to help them find. And then give them the name of the examples of the ones who've successfully done it.
Also, there is the article that the Orlando Sentinel did, which could be a good, Stacia did it in an accessible format. I think she put it into a PDF. I can always send that to you if you do get someone's email, just so that they know other ones in that, you know, a reporter is looking at it too. That could be a good, you know, way to kind of just, again, educate them. Because, again, a lot of times they don't even know what audio description is, you know, it's the education thing.
We still don't know the answer to that question. It changes theater to theater. So at Orlando Shakes, I've been talking with David Mink, and they've committed that if you buy tickets next year, they'll provide it. So just so you know. Right. Yes, you did. Right person, right? And even David Mink is only, I'm not the person to make the decision. No, I'm the go-between. So it's finding, it's usually going to be their production manager, their COO. And in smallest theaters, that's usually pretty easy to find. At Dr. Phillips, there's like 7 layers to that. At the Jacksonville Professional House, I'm sure there's 7 layers to that. But once you go into a community theater or regional theater, it's going to be a little bit easier to find. You ask 1 or 2 questions, you'll find like who's the decision maker on budgeting items. Yeah.
I would add to that, again, looking at who you're going to. If it is a smaller theater, a smaller standalone theater, if you can find out who's the top guy, who is that name, who is the CEO, who's the general manager, the executive director, who that is, make the inquiry there, but then ask them to, who do I talk to at your organization? Because getting that leadership to push, if the leadership pushes the question down, it'll get done. If a middle person tries to push it up, it'll take a while. So part of what happens is a lot of folks will approach the middle person. And again, the middle person is confused. They don't know what it is. They're not really sure. I don't know how to solve it. I'm going to bring a problem to my superior that I don't know how to solve, but I swear to God, it's going to cost me a ton of money. So start at the top and then ask them to put you down to the right person. In a place that is larger, the other person, like a Dr. Phillips or one of these larger organizations, normally it's the director of guest services or visitor services. That would be the right person to start with, because in that case, like, nobody's going to talk to the head of the Dr. Phillips Performing Arts Center. But they will get to the director of visitor services, and their job is to be accessible, is to provide the accessibility. Also to ask for the access coordinator. If they're taking any federal money, they should have one. And I just saw Sheila's hand go up for a second. Three minutes, so that's a 3 minute warning.
Do you have any, okay. And do we have any, but thank you, Alicia. The comment was, if anybody's listening on Zoom, that the confirmation of the spouse enjoying the service more, because it gives you that, the freedom to actually delve into the art form that you're going to see without needing to be the unpaid describer. Do we have any other questions? All right. Thank you guys so much for coming. We really appreciate it. We are Audio Description Initiative. If you guys have any questions, we'll be in the room. Thank you so much, everyone.